We're doing the Seder HaDorot, Jewish history a little bit. We're in the middle of the year 2002-28, and we had seen that Yosef gave many signs to Pharaoh, and they came true. And Pharaoh wants to appoint Yosef in charge of the land. And the nobles tell him that an assistant to the king can only be appointed if he knows 70 languages. And Yosef only knows one language. So the king says, okay, tomorrow I'll test him. And that night, God sends an angel. Yosef is lying. He's sleeping in his under the master in the pit. And they wake him from his sleep. And the angel wakes him from his sleep and teaches him every language. And he changes his name from Yosef to Yehosef. He adds a hey to his name. And Yosef is stunned by the vision which he saw. Here he's getting this whole angelic class in languages. And the next morning, the king summons his servants and his nobles. And everyone stands before him. And he orders Yosef brought before him. And the king orders Yosef to ascend to the throne. And every step that Yosef goes up, he speaks that language and then goes on to the next step. So he keeps going up the steps, language by language, until he comes before the king. And now he's made it. Now he could be assistant to the king. So the king and his nobles were very happy. And they were happy now that they could appoint Yosef as the king's assistant, second in command. And the king tells him, you will now be my second in command, and the nobles and the servants will all listen to you. You will decide the laws here. You'll decide what everyone's salaries are. And after the king goes out riding in his chariot, and he has a chariot placed for Yosef behind his, or next his, and they give him a huge horse, one of the king's giant horses. Remember, in Egypt, they bred the horses. So as Yosef is going out, they play music, they have a whole band, they have 1,000 drums and 1,000 different harps and instruments going before them, and 5,000 soldiers lead the parade with their swords drawn. I guess it's not a new thing that the Arabs shoot their guns in the air. When they're celebrating here, they go before them with their swords drawn, and the king has 20,000 men. The nobles from different towns, from different cities come. And they're all wearing a special sash, a leather sash with gold on it. And 20,000 to Yosef's right and 20,000 to Yosef's left. And the women and the girls all went on the rooftops. And they're all dancing with the music. And they're all looking to see this beautiful new prince. They're all looking at Yosef, at his beauty. And as Yosef's going forward in his chariot, they burnt incense before him and behind him, and they have all kinds of beautiful smells together with this parade. And they had 20 people standing there calling out like a choir, have you ever seen a man that looks as great as this? This is the man the king chose to be his second in command. And anyone who rebels against him, and anyone who doesn't bow to him to the ground, will be executed. Sound familiar? Where else do we have a person going out on the town and someone calling out before him?
Haman.
There are many correlations between the story of Yosef and the story of Haman. Literally verses that seem directly aligned. So, that's a good question. All the Egyptians bow to Yosef, and they all call out, long live the king, long live his second in command. And Yosef looks up to heaven, and he says to the Ribon Shalom, Mekim me'afar dal, you lift the poor from the dust. U'me'ashpot yerim evyon, you lift those that are impoverished from the dumps. Hashem Tzvakot, Hashem who controls all the armies, Ashrei Adam Botech Bach, praised is he who has faith in you. They show him throughout the land of Egypt, they show him the king's treasures, and the king gives him a large section, a large territory of fields and vineyards, and 3,000 bars of silver and 1,000 bars of gold and precious stones and many gifts. And the next morning, Pharaoh commands the Egyptians they should all bring gifts to Yosef. And they make this large platform in the middle of the city. And every person threw onto that platform their gold nose ring or their gold earrings, each one a different piece of jewelry. And each person would put something there, and Yosef put it all in his storage houses. And of course, all the nobles tried to give a nice gift. And this is still the custom in Egypt. When they want to make a person a noble, when they want to make him a leader, so the custom in Egypt, he says, is that he first has to become a servant, be sold to the chief executioner, and then deny his religion, and then become the leader. Meaning they have this whole procession to make a mock Yosef out of him. They say, look, our greatest leader came out of this. So maybe if you do what Yosef did, you'll become the greatest leader. So this was still the custom in Egypt. Now, Yosef left jail on Rosh Hashanah. It was Rosh Hashanah that Yosef was let out of jail. That's the Talmud already says that. Yeah?
When did Yosef deny his religion?
I think the idea is because Yosef was a monotheist and he denied the Egyptian religion. I don't know. That's what it seems to say. So, the king summons Potiphera, the son of Ahiram, the kohen of the priest of On, and he takes his daughter Osnat and gives her to Yosef to be wed, and she's very good looking. Now, who is this Osnat? So we have on tradition that she was the daughter of Dinah. After Dinah was raped, she became pregnant. And then her daughter was Osnat, and Yaakov was concerned what the siblings might do with her, because she was the daughter of Shechem. So he took her down to Egypt for adoption, and he gave her in the hands of these nobles, Potiphar, in Egypt, to raise her. And we see there's a discussion in Chazal that Potiphar's wife meant for the sake of heaven, that she saw in her stargazing that from her and Yosef is supposed to come the Mashiach. And in fact, she was just a little bit off because it was her adopted daughter, which Chazal say when someone raises a girl, so it's as though she's their girl. You raise a boy, yeah, any child. If you raise a child, it's as though you bore them. That the Talmud proves from different verses in Tanakh. So Yosef marries the daughter of Dinah. And there's an interesting calculation here that we're told, the Talmud tells us that when Leah was pregnant with Dinah, originally Dinah was supposed to be a boy. And then Leah prayed to heavens that she shouldn't have another boy, because then out of the 12 tribes, her sister would only have one. They all knew there would be 12. Already when Yaakov left Israel, he knew there would be 12 tribes. So this was the 11th pregnancy. So Leah prayed to heaven it should be a girl and not a boy. So then Dinah came out as Dinah, as a girl. And what happens? Dinah's daughter marries Yosef, and Yosef becomes two tribes, right? So if Leah thought she was losing a tribe, she was losing a section in the land of Israel by asking God that this pregnancy should become a girl, so Hashem took care of that. That girl's daughter would end up marrying Yosef. Yosef, who gets a double portion in the land of Israel, two tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim. And so to speak, this is the way that Leah gets paid back for her willingness to give up on that portion, just to ensure that her sister doesn't get embarrassed. Yeah?
Why